always hear us when we pray. So we thank you for this class in Jesus' name, amen. We need to make sure that, here's our last class. So y'all be graduating. So it's been a long time coming, but that's a great thing. But you never really graduate. You know what I'm saying? You just kind of move on to another level of maturity. But the Bible talks about ever increasing, always learning. If you can get anything out of this class this year, I've just been trying to break your religion. I've been trying to kill your religion. I've been trying to kill every religious thought that you had about church and about Christianity and about, you know, there's a lot of things that we've learned. There's a lot of things that we picked up over time that is literally hindering the power. It's some of the same in today's church. It's some of the same stuff that they dealt with 2017 years ago. It's some of the same issues. Some of the same things that Jesus was telling them, hey, you know, this is what it really is, and they still didn't understand. And so I pray that y'all in this class, physically and those watching online, leave with another connotation of who you are as the church. You know, an organization is only as effective as its organisms. And so, you know, I can go analogy after analogy. A chain is only strong as its weakest link. A team is only strong as the players that it got. And so if we leave this class or leave this semester or leave whatever, and it's specifically this class because this class we're in right now, and allow ourselves to do the normal thing, then we become a hindrance to the body. I wish that some of the stuff that we had in this class could be taught to churches all over, just for them to be more than they're doing. You know, we know all the acts, man. I mean, we know how to do the church thing, the quote unquote church thing. We know how to bless and highly favor. We know how to, you know, go through the motion. We know when to jerk. We know all those different things. And God bless all of that, but it's the being, and not just being, but being Christ. We have to go beyond being good Christians and graduate to being life-giving Christs. Y'all get me? Being like him. He said it over and over again, I think. And if you do a little reading in the Gospels, Jesus said over and over again, he was always bringing it back to the identity of the personality of Christ. It wasn't about doing a bunch of things. Even if you did things, you did them from the person of Christ. You get it? You did them knowing. I heard a statement today or yesterday, and it said many people want this is a religious organized church today. Many people want the steps, but they don't want the mentality. Philippians 2:5 will go great with that. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And so we want the steps. So many people are trying to perform the miracles, right? They want blind eyes to open. They want people to be healed. They want people to get up. They want to raise people from the dead. They want to be able to multiply and all these different things, and walk on water and all these different stuff. And maybe not literally that, but they want to do these different things, and so they're looking for the steps, right? Instead of being the step. And I can't bring that home enough. The I am nature is amazing. If you would take time to sit down and meditate on it. Jesus was never telling them to do. He said, I was talking to somebody today. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He didn't say, take my yoke upon you and learn my ways. He said, learn of me. He said, search scripture and you think you have eternal life. And there they was testify of me. Not my ways or not what I do. Even if we're talking about ways, in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the. Like, I'm literally the way. Like, I'm not showing you the way. You get it? Paul had to say, follow me as I follow Christ. You get it? But Jesus, follow me. Come be like me. And one of the most amazing things about Jesus, and I love this about him, his immense, I'm trying to think of the word, like, I mean, he was, Philippians 2:5 talks about it. I mean, he was and is God in the flesh. And he knew it. See, you just don't know about you. That's what he's trying to tell you. But he's God in the flesh. And he knew it. He knew it. He knew it from the jump. He knew it. There was no doubt in his mind who he was. That man was talking and he said, me and my father are one. He said, I'm in him and he's in me. See what I'm saying? Like he was saying, and he knew this. He knew how elevated, watch this. He knew how elevated his mindset and his connectivity with the Father was. He knew it was higher than what they was understanding. But even in that moment, he never discredited any other human being. Go look at it. He never discredited anybody. He tell them, you know, you can do this too. This is you. I'm the vine, you the branches. You and me, I'm in you. We were talking about communion yesterday. He said, drink of my blood and I'm in you and you and me. He was always bringing connectivity. He never was downcasting. The only time he really got rowdy and started saying some stuff reckless is when the people that tried to come and act like they knew better were trying to overtalk him. And many times the Pharisees and Sadducees were coming in trying to overtalk him in front of other people because they didn't want the people. I was listening to the audiobook of John, and I saw the time when they conspired to kill Jesus. Because that high priest said, oh, God. He said, we got to, listen, these people are going to start believing him. And they're going to start following him because of the miracles. So what we need to do is we got to kill him. The same high priest that was doing that knew the prophecy and said, yeah, it was prophesied that one man going to die for all, and not just the house of Israel, not just the children of Israel, but the whole world. He said, we got to do something about this because they're going to start believing him. And many times in organized church, it'll be the same way with you. Don't be afraid. Because things have been such a way for so long time. I mean, it's been a certain way for a long time. I'm not talking about in a particular church. I'm just saying as a whole, it has been ever since Jesus ascended and we get to the book of Acts, it's like things have been added. And, slowly beware lest you be beguiled by the serpent. You know what I'm saying? You be deceived from the simplicity that is in Christ. Right? That's who you are. An organization is only as good as its organisms. You know, your whole body as a whole is only as good as your cells. Only as good as your organs are working. And that's what Ephesians 4 is all about. And so we've got to allow ourselves to be. Everybody say, I am. Amen. We've got to allow ourselves to be. Now, in order to allow yourself, and as I say allow yourself, it's just like let this mind be. In order, allow yourself to be. You have to allow, nobody else has to allow you to be. You have to allow yourself to be. In order to be, you have to know who you be, all right? But you have to allow yourself to be. Are y'all hearing me? And you cannot let any religion or religious thought process or any traditional thought process hinder you from being. I'm going to tell you the truth. This whole thing ain't going to work unless you be. We've been doing the rules, haven't we? Yeah. Come on, answer me. We've been doing the rules, and we've been doing all the things. And I, God bless all of that. And thank God for all of that. But eventually, you've got to come out of grade school and start living your life. They used to call it the real world. Remember that? Y'all remember that? You know, in grade school, we laughed. We had all the time on our hands. Having fun, you can make a mistake, and you're like, everybody's like, oh, they just young. then whatever it was in your life, whatever time it was, and the real world hit. And that's what I'm telling you, you need to grow up. You need to be an adult. You need to handle your business. All those different things, right? Yeah. There's a time for that. Time is now. No other time to wait. Right? It begins with you. Our class might have maybe 20, 25, well, I don't even know, 25 people, and it's just a class physically. I don't know how many people we have online. But just that small amount of people being Christ could start a wave. If you decide to do it. Don't leave and go back to the same thing. Challenge yourself. I don't know what it is that happened to me. Something happened to me. And I really can't pinpoint the day. I can pinpoint a couple moments in the process, but I really don't know. But something happened to me to the point to where I couldn't, wasn't okay with the normal things anymore. And I couldn't, some people can and I can't. And I just, I have to realize that it's okay to be uncomfortable in certain situations around certain people, right? But I can't sit there like nothing's the matter, like nothing's wrong, right? Can't sit there and function like everything's okay because I read a few scriptures. Or like because I've come to service and do that. That's just what you should do. When you come into service, it should be training you to be Jesus. Any message that you hear, any principle that you hear, you have to be able to trace them back to Jesus. If you cannot trace them back to Jesus, it's somebody else's stuff. This is it. Is Jesus or die? There's nothing else. There's no other principle. Church growth is you growth. What we need more people to come to church for if you haven't matured enough to be able to handle them. Perfecting the saints, work of the ministry, edifying the body. Perfecting the saints, work of the ministry, edifying the body. Perfecting the saints, work of the ministry, the edifying of the body. This is the goal. This is what Jesus looks like. This is actually what Jesus does. This is what you're mandated to do. That's church. Ain't no other definition of church. I was talking to some young guys today, and we were talking, and I said, you know, they said a scripture. I'm like, cool, that's a cool little scripture. I tied into Jesus. That's a cool little saying, cool, tied into Jesus. Because if you can't, then nobody gets deliverance. You are the principle. Are you understanding me? And this is a mindset that you cannot leave here and then go back to your normal thing. You're not allowed to do that. Excuse me. You're not allowed to be normal anymore. That's over. Your normal day is ended. It is no longer okay for you to be regular. That's over with. And so now, when I'm looking in the scripture, I'm seeing anything about church. You know, the church, you know, I am church. Say it.
I am church. And
you are church, right? You know, and when we go to church, you know what I'm saying? But going to church ain't nothing without you. You know, the charge of a service depends on you. You know that?
Yes, sir.
I ain't talking about charge for nothing else. I'm just saying the charge and the flow and the charge of what's going on, even the flow of what's going on to whoever's allotted to speak at that time, and the whole flow depends on you. Do you know that whatever's received or whatever goes out or whatever comes out the pipeline depends on your reception? If you don't come in like Jesus, then you ain't going to hear Jesus. Woo! You won't see him when he coming. If you don't come in with the Jesus mindset already, when somebody begins to start talking Jesus language, it'll go over your head. I noticed that with apostles when we come to church, and I was talking to one of my friends last night. We had a good conversation. And I noticed that with apostles sometimes when he sit in church. And I'm a watcher sometimes. you know, I'm not, my mind goes this way. Like, normal mind, my mind be like all this, right? And so I'm paying attention. So I'm looking around. I'm like, okay, what are y'all getting? What's going on? And I hear what he's saying, and I hear the word coming out, right? And I hear the revelation. I hear him say something that ain't never been said before. And the people, they don't know what's going on. He get to hollering, and they who they want. They want to holler, and they want to jump. And it's only because they've come as pew members, a good church folk, good Christian folk, right? They wasn't coming to be like Jesus. See, the goal is to come in and always be ready to leave with more concept of Jesus as you. That's it. There should never be a time that you sit down, Drex, and not be prepared to be more of Jesus. See, if you go in with that mentality, then the mind of Christ will be in you. It'll raise up. And then the next time that thing happens, or the next time something come up, or the next time you see somebody dealing with something, or the next time there's something in your way that doesn't look like what God intended, then you begin to speak to that in a certain way, sounding like Jesus, because you are. We stutter and we hold up and we don't move and we let things pass us by on a day-by-day basis and we don't touch the people that we need to touch and we don't do the things we need to do because we're still Christians and not Christ. And so we've got to graduate. I mean, we've got to get to the point to where we're not just going through the normal rigmarole. But we're actually endeavoring to be. It's who you are already. But your concept and your thought process of who you are, sir, I don't even want you to ever go back to the normal thinking about church. You can't. You shouldn't be able to. If you can, you've been holding on to it too long. If you can leave out this class, this right here, and go back to the normal concept of church, I ain't got no help for you at all. You can't be helped. You can't be helped. That's a wrap. You might as well just go home and live your life and live a normal, peaceable life and then go home to glory. Don't expect to do nothing different. That ain't what I'm looking for. That ain't what I expect. That ain't even, that's not what I think Jesus expects of me. It goes bigger. What does God expect of you? Do he expect you to be a nice person? Do he expect you just to, you just come in your house and then just don't get in no trouble? Is that what God's looking for? Is that what he's looking for? Or is he looking for somebody to change the game? A game changer. Somebody to shake some stuff up. Why is it so normal? I know y'all get tired of it. Come on, tell me the truth. Y'all get tired of normal thing every day. Huh? You get tired of just the normal rigmarole. And you get tired. Some of y'all get tired of going to church sometimes. This is beyond y'all. Don't want to say that. You get going to no. It's got to be something fresh. It got to be something different. It got to be something going on. You got to be able to wield some power tomorrow, on a random moment throughout the day. You got to be able to speak to somebody on the other end of their phone and call things that be not as though they were, because they are. But it's a concept. Get over your normal concept of church. There's the Lord told me this, and I'm going to say this to your class before, this is new. The enemy has taken false thoughts, false teachings. He's allowed false thoughts, false teachings, false doctrines. Right here it says, don't be carried to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Right? Right here in the scripture. Y'all see it? Look, Ephesians 4, right in what verse? Verse 14, that we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men and cunning craftsmen, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That means there's some doctrine that's deceptive. Yes. But sound good. You know, fakes. Right? They don't look much different from the real thing. You ever the cubics? Yeah, it looks just like a diamond, unless you really know what you're looking at, unless you got like the glass and you have training and they train the eye to see the difference. You can't even really tell. And so there's a lot of feel good messages, a lot of pat on your back. You're going to make it and all the different. Make what? What you going to make? You're going to make it. Make what? Is that what we're here for, to try to make it? Or should we be making something for somebody else? Come on, y'all. And so now, these doctrines and so what the Lord told me was the enemy has been ever since they say when Jesus gave up the ghost, they say the veil was torn. You know, the veil between God and man, the blocking line that, you know, you had to go to the priest on it. It was torn, ripped in two. Right. Ever since that particular moment, the enemy has been trying to sew up another veil. And it's been through religion and tradition and rules and rhetoric and principles and doctrines. But then they don't, you can't trace them back to Jesus. Which means if you don't trace them back to Jesus, you'll never trace them back to you. You'll never know who you are. There'd be a massive, the organized church has a massive identity crisis. And they think they're right. So what Christianity has become, y'all know what it is? You don't know what it's become? Yeah. I told somebody this today. Christianity has become a little cool club. It's a club of people that got tickets to heaven. Right? It's a club of people that got tickets to heaven. And because they joined the club, they got a right to condemn everybody else. Y'all know I ain't lying. Yeah. We just don't want to say it all the time. But y'all know I ain't lying. So because I don't know why we don't want to say it. Just take somebody crazy like me to say it. Just take the lick, right? Because we joined the cool little club. Now we all on the bus on our way to heaven, right? And now because we in this club, we got a right to call them heathens. Are you dirty scoundrel? Don't remember that right before you joined the club, right? Sometimes while you're in the club, your foot beat. And maybe not, you know, there's a commission and omission. Like, you know, there's one that you commit, there's one that you don't even know what's going on. But in the club, the club gives you the right to judge others. It gives you the right to tell others what's wrong with them. Right? It gives you the right to tell others they need to look in the mirror, but we tend to blame others for our problems. You know, like the church do that, right? Like the devil made me do it. You remember that, right? Right? Or we come up with a lot of excuses for why power don't show up. Well, maybe it wasn't this. Well, maybe it wasn't the will of God for him to get up out of the wheelchair. What do you mean? What do you mean it wasn't the will of God for somebody to get up out of the wheelchair? Did God put him in the wheelchair? In the beginning, did God create wheelchairs? We got to stop making excuses. Excuses are the crutches of the uncommitted. Stop giving ourselves scapegoats. Well, the Bible says it's going to be bad days. What that got to do with you? What does the Bible saying it's going to be bad days going to come got to do with what you got to do right now? If that's the case, we can just give it up. If that's the case, we just quit because it's going to come anyway. We ain't, what we doing? Right? That ain't what Jesus was talking about. So we got to get past, we cannot allow another veil. When Jesus laid hands on that blind man, he said, I see, but I see men walking the trees. He's talking, it was a church message. It was a you message. It was telling you that it's a possibility that you'll see but not see. 1 Corinthians 13 talking about, for we see in part, then we see darkly in the glass, but then we see clear. Then we see in part and know in part. But it's talking about even knowing who I am, right? The end of that chapter. Yeah. Because you can see in part and know in part, but then you got to have a full view. The only full view comes from Jesus when he puts that hand on your eyes and the clarity comes. Sure, there's a possibility we can be on the boat and not know where we're going. We could quote unquote be on the inside and not know how to help nobody. Are y'all seeing me? The normal way of thinking. And so, we just have to grow past that. I don't have no steps on how to do it. And number one, I don't have it. Step number one, Jesus. Step number two, Jesus. How many points y'all want? Y'all know we do sermons, right? I got 10 points for you. How many points y'all want? Y'all want 10? Step number three. Ain't nothing else. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Jesus. This is it. Everything else that you read is training you to be Jesus. That's it. Jesus had an amazing amount of compassion. The one man that could have told everybody, you a doggone sinner, you ain't no good, you raggedy scoundrel, look at you, you a sinner, and I'm clean, I ain't never sinned before. The one person that could say that, you know, that type of stuff we be saying, right? That's the one person that could say that never said it. Say, go and sin no more. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Jesus had compassion upon him, not condemnation on him. The different wrong C word. He has an unmatched amount of compassion for mankind. And I give you a head start. Even if you don't get all the steps right, y'all don't see, you know, I say the steps right. You know the steps. We gotta get this together and get this together and get this. Even if you don't get all that together, cool. Stop. Just chill. Listen. Even if you can just realize. And let the love of God be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And even if you can just allow yourself, you know, if you don't pray no other prayer, watch this. If you don't pray no other prayer, Lord, increase my faith. The disciples are saying all that stuff. How are we going to increase our faith? Who's going to be the best among us? Who going to be able to sit by you in heaven? Who's going to do this? Sometimes you're asking the wrong question, right? Sometimes you need to settle down and say, Lord, let me have compassion like you. When last time you prayed that one? If ever. Have you ever? If ever. Lord, give me an overwhelming amount of your compassion. We want the anointing. You know what the anointing is, huh? What you need the anointing for? What you need the anointing for without a compassion? If the power of the anointing without compassion, it'll be a killer. You'd be a murderer. Guaranteed. My prayer. Let your request be known unto God. Right? You have not because you. Right? All these things. Wait, Lord, I just want some of your compassion. Let me have compassion all day long today. It'll help your marriage. Help you with your family, with your kids. Lord. Compassion doesn't mean that there's no correction. Yeah. There's correction inside of compassion. Yeah. You correct because you're compassionate, because you don't want them to kill themselves. But Lord, just let me have some of your compassion. Let your compassion overflow out of me. Send love out before you do in a day. Grease everybody with love before you come in contact with them. Pray that prayer. Include. Y'all want your prayers to be answered? No. Come on. Do you want your prayers to be answered? Have you ever prayed some prayers and they feel like it didn't get answered? Huh?
Yes, sir.
And you pray some prayer. Some of them you've been praying for years. Right? Lord, I know you always hear me when I pray. Jesus said that, right? Mm-hmm. You know why he could say that? Because he always knew that when he prayed, he wasn't asking for no selfish ambitions. Throw a little love in your prayer and see how quick they start coming to pass. Throw some other people in there. Just tomorrow, get up. Yeah, I know you're going to do whatever you're going to do for yourself, right? But just get up and just be like, listen, Lord, listen. Just like you're going to take care of me, take care of all the people I come in contact with today. You know what I'm saying? We don't know everybody's name in the world, so you can't call everybody's name in the world, right? But the Holy Ghost know them. So just sit down and say, listen, we don't know who we come in contact with today. We don't know who we're dealing with today, but I want them to experience you like I do. Watch how it happens. We just miss slight little things. The scripture says this, and I'm going to say this, and I'll be done this class. It's not going to be all the way. Like, he says, in Ephesians 4, go there. And henceforth no more children talk to waiting to see. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. All right, y'all see that? Y'all with me? Verse 16. Maketh increase of the body. Y'all see that? Unto the edifying of itself. Edifying means building up. In what? So how do we build a church? That's it. And I'm just, and this is the minor part, but it's minor but it's major. But more people ain't coming to church because they don't feel the love. As soon as they come, they feel rules. They don't feel the love. As soon as they come, they feel control. They don't feel the love. I'm not saying you let them come in and do, let people come in and do what they want to, because you got to learn. But is there a way to teach in love? Yes. To train in love? Yes. Condemnation ain't part of that, though. Or judging. Mm-hmm. And so many times what we end up saying that we're correcting, we're really judging. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. You remember what you've been through? Mm-hmm. I'll wait for you. Mm-hmm. I'll wait for y'all to answer me. Y'all remember what you've been through?
Yes, sir.
Hey, why you can't leave with that sometimes? How you forgot that you've been a good Christian for 20 years? And you forgot where you came from. How you forgot that? Because if you forget that, then what you do is you beside yourself, because now you're a good, I've been clean for 20 years. Right? And then you begin, it is very easy to begin to, you need to do this. But they overcame by the what? Blood of the Lamb, and what else? What were their testimony? Yeah. So why don't you leave with that? I don't like it when people talk about people in church that well, she had a baby before she got, you was the baby before you got married. Someone else was baby before somebody got married. I mean, literally. So we've got to get over these things. This judgment and condemnation that kills the congregation. And it kills the process. We lead with love. We lead with love. This scripture, I didn't write this. He said edifying, building up, edifying, right? You see? Edifying of itself, how? In love. Not in rule, not in principle, not in teaching, not in whatever. It says you edify yourself how? Now, inside of love, there are rules. And inside of love, there is teaching, right? Inside of love, there are principles, but they're all based on love, not the other way around. Prove it to you. Truth of the matter is, you don't follow the rules to prove to God that you love him. You love God, and that causes you to follow the rules. See the backwards? You see how it's been backwards? See, we don't lead with love. But this is for John 3:16, said, for God so. The scripture led with love. We only love God because he, when he did it?
First.
What? When he did it?
First.
No, we only love God because he first loved us. So that means before we even thought about how or what to do or even figure out what it meant to love God, he was loving on us. And in the works that I do, so you do also. Y'all thought he was talking about opening eyes and raising the dead. That comes after you love. I saw love, man. They told Jesus Lazarus was dead. There was one time I saw Jesus crying like he was beside him, like he was a little, he was touched. He loved that man, he loved Lazarus. And so that love would not allow him to let Lazarus stay dead. I don't know. We thought it was just muscle some power. No, that was compassion. That was love. That was the power. The resurrection power is love. I know it's resurrection Sunday that's coming, right? The Sunday coming. You know, the resurrection power is love. Nothing else. That the only reason that a man would do that and go through with that is because of love. What? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That means he gave Jesus for that. Then when he gave Jesus, Jesus still has to fulfill what's going on by continuing in the love that he was given in. You live the same way you were given. Oh. You live the same way you would give. I don't know. Right? You live the same way, right? Like the same way you started, the same way you continue. You can't pick another path after that. So because God so loved that he gave Jesus, so now Jesus has to continue in that same love. And that's the only thing that was going to take him all the way to the cross. And the last thing you're going to say is, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. And then you get up. Then you get up and you've been betrayed. You've been denied. You've been left. And I wish the old boy Judas wouldn't have hung himself. That old boy Judas wouldn't have hung himself. Maybe he could have saw that Jesus still loved him regardless of what he did to him. Prove it to you, because he went back to Peter. Peter denied him twice. He went back to Peter and said, Peter, don't you love me more than these? So Peter said he's going back fishing. Everybody just started to spread out. And Jesus showed up on the bank, right? And started talking to him just like he did the first time he met Peter. I can imagine how that was. And said, come on, let me use your ship. He said, I don't got the time for all that. And they had been fishing and taking nothing the same way. Y'all go read the story. Go read it. And Jesus said, hey, throw your nets on that side. And then enclosed a great multitude of fish. They numbered them that time. They said, Peter jumped in the water naked. They said, That's the master, that's the Lord. Then when he get to where Jesus at, Jesus already got some fish. Jesus was showing him, man. I ain't worried about how y'all doing things. I control this. He said, Peter, you love me more than these? Yeah, Lord, you know I do. You know I love you more than these. A couple of minutes. Peter, do you love me more than these? Yeah, you know I do. And he asked again. Peter, do you love me more than you? Peter got aggravated. Yeah. Why you keep asking me that? Because you know Peter's a little crazy, right? Why you keep asking me that? You know I love you more than these. And I want to say how you get to say that. He knew he denied him. You knew just a few days ago, right? But Jesus wasn't even talking about that. You know we'd have been back and be like, hey, bro, why you told him you ain't know me? Y'all know what we'd have done. Why you told him? Why you ain't, you know what I'm saying? Nope, Jesus. Peter, you love me more than these? Yeah, he said, feed my sheep. The immediate thing, said, if you really love me, you'll do what I do. It's the goal. You don't need goosebumps for that. You don't feel no heat or no wind for that. You don't need anything for that. It's to realize that the only way the buildup happens is through love. That's it. Find love in the midst of it all. That's the only way to do church. Where do I start? Well, you start off with coming to church and start condemning people with your eyes. I know you be sitting there, and as soon as you see something that don't look like you, because how long you been wearing suits to church? Right? You been wearing suits for a little while, huh? And then so when somebody come in without one, you know what I'm saying? A tie, right? Somebody come in without one, now you like, oh, look at you. You know, just chill for a second. Right? Calm down. And let people come inside and let them experience the love before you let them experience a rule. I'll run too. I know stuff be happening to me in my mind, right? And sometimes I'm born and raised church boy. Don't remember I got some good attendance on Sunday morning, right? I used to get them perfect attendance at Vacation Bible School. The little certificate to give me little stars on there, right? And it wasn't just because I was pastor, son, I was there, right? And I've been through it. I talked to some of your favorite preachers. I've been to some of these favorite meetings. I've seen a lot of them succeed and a lot of them fail. I see them lay hands on people, and some people got healed. I see them lay hands on people, and some people ain't getting nothing. I've seen a lot of different things. A young man, I always say I'm a young man with an older man's experience. Right? We've gone through all that. And let's settle down and hanker down in the love. You get it? Nothing else. You don't need nothing else. What else you looking for? What other thing you looking for? You looking for a manifestation somewhere? It's in love. Hang all the law and the prophets. They hang on love. What's the great commandment of love? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Second, like you love your neighbor like you love yourself. Right? They say on this hang all the law and the prophets. Everything hangs on that. That's Jesus. Right? So I'm over church as usual. I'm over that. Hope you get over it. I'll give you a quick little warning. Don't be afraid, right? And you have to walk. You have to walk with wisdom, right? Are y'all hearing me? But don't be afraid, because everybody doing this the same way. Jesus, they wanted to kill him. Because he just wasn't doing things the same way. You get it? And so, but it's not until we understand that U-turn. Now, until we understand that change, it's not until that, and I pray to God that it begins with you and with me and with us and with our fellow classmates, that we see Jesus like never before, not just somewhere out there, but in here, and begin to live that. Right? I look from the outside looking in, and I swear I'll probably run if I got some of the same treatment, not knowing what was going on in here. It's very easy to sit in something that you've been in for a long time. Right? Y'all know how long you been in church? Not just here, like how long you been in church? Yeah, around that foot, right? 30 years. I'm like, yeah, we've been in church for a long. We know all the songs. We know all the worship songs. We know all the hymns. We know all the good little sayings, right? How long have we been in there? You know what I'm saying? And so it's easy for us to kind of be cool with that. Sometimes you got to step back and look, right? And be like, what does this look like? Is this love? Right? And not for nothing else. Don't be looking at the pulpit trying to say, no, look at you. Don't look at the next person in the pew. Look at you. And see what you bring to the table. You get it? And then see if the way you acting with somebody run. Or what they say. What they saw when they saw you. Jesus. Begins with you. Congratulations, y'all.